This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The situation in the war-torn areas of eastern Ukraine has been highly charged in the past week. After a short-term period of the truce being observed on the day of the Orthodox Christmas, the Russian occupation forces have relaunched their attacks, still using heavy weapons banned by the Minsk agreements, and causing grave loss among the Ukrainian servicemen. The enemy kept targeting Ukrainian army positions throughout the week, though the intensity of their fire has increased by the end of the week. In some cases, the Ukrainian troops returned fire using non-prescribed weapons. One of the areas where the enemy activity was the most intense has been the Svitlodarsk Bulge, halfway between Luhansk and Donetsk, where Ukrainian army positions underwent multiple strikes, including with the use of big-caliber mortars and other heavy weapons. Ukrainian army positions in several spots northeast of Mariupol have also been shelled repeatedly from heavy weapons, among which grenade launchers, machine guns, and infantry fighting vehicles. In many of those instances, Ukrainian army positions came under targeted fire from the enemy's side, which resulted in multiple casualties. The Defense Ministry's press center also reported on the enemy's aerial reconnaissance activity. Namely, drones that are banned by Minsk have been spotted in several locations. In their report, the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission have also remarked the increase in ceasefire violations. Alexander Hug, deputy chief monitor of the mission, noted that the result of a recommitment to the ceasefire after the latest Minsk negotiations had been encouraging, yet not for long. Alexander Hug commented at a briefing in Kyiv on Friday.
We have seen many recommitments before, Easter, harvest, back to school and Christmas recommitments. These recommitments are without doubt good. At the very least, they offer a period of respite for the civilian population. A period, however short, in which children can go to school in safety, in which farmers can cultivate their crops, in which people can celebrate their most cherished beliefs in peace. And it also demonstrates that the ceasefire agreed more than 3 years ago is possible to maintain.
Alexander Hug. Additionally, he said the ceasefire proved that, fortunately so far, the situation in eastern Ukraine had not become a protracted conflict, sucking everyone around into a spiral of violence.
You're listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
This week, a suspect was arrested in the case of murdered human rights activist and lawyer Irina Nozdrovska. As Ukrainian radio reported earlier, lawyer Irina Nozdrovska went missing on December 29th, days after she helped ensure that Dmytro Rososhansky, convicted of running down and killing her sister with his car, was not released from prison following an appeal hearing. The investigation onto her sister's death in 2015 was Irina's most prominent case. On January 1st, Nozdrovska's body was found in the river near her home village. According to police reports, she died of multiple stab wounds. What has resonated within society is that the murder followed threats made against Nozdrovska while she was seeking justice for her sister, killed by the nephew of a judge who was head of the Vyshhorod District Court. Around 200 protesters rallied in a call for an investigation into the murder outside the National Police Department in Kyiv on January 2nd. The National Police reported that 300 ministry employees, in particular operatives of the Criminal Investigation Department and investigators, were involved in probing Nozdrovska's murder. A week later, Interior Minister Arsen Avakov reported that a suspect had been arrested in the case. 63-year-old Yuri Rososhansky, father of the suspect in her sister's murder, has been charged with the murder of Irina Nozdrovska. First Deputy Head of National Police Vyacheslav Obroskin commented on the matter.
Их было назначено более 70, и первые результаты уже есть.
Over 70 expert assessments have been commissioned. We have the first results now that have been presented to the court. DNA test results showed particles belonging to the suspect on the victim's body. We've done the best we could, and currently the investigation is still in progress, said Vyacheslav Obroskin. President Petro Poroshenko remarked the efficiency and high quality of the investigation in the case that seemed to have been so rapidly solved. Yet Nozdrovska family's lawyers and other activists have questioned whether the results presented so far were credible enough, namely whether the suspect had actually been acting alone. At a press conference on Thursday, Anastasia Nozdrovska, daughter of the victim, called on the investigators to uncover more materials on the case, as according to her, the victim's side had only been able to inspect 10-15% of it. Anastasia Nozdrovska thanked President Poroshenko for the attention to her mother's case, noting, however, that he might have been fooled by the investigation's results.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
Cooperation with Ukraine is one of the top priorities of the EU foreign policy. This was stated by head of the EU delegation to Ukraine, Hyumin Gerulli, in his exclusive interview with the Ukrainian radio. While commenting on the EU-Ukraine further cooperation, we mentioned the recent article published by High Representative for Foreign Policy Federica Mogherini, in which she outlined the EU foreign policy priorities in 2018, but never mentioned Ukraine, its struggle against the Russian aggression, and the continuing occupation of the Crimea and the part of the Donbas by pro-Kremlin forces. We asked Mr. Hyumin Gerulli to comment on this issue.
One of the 12 priorities mentioned by the EU High Representative for Foreign Policy was the relationship between the European Union and the six partner countries of the Eastern Partnership. And Ukraine obviously is one of these countries. So there is no doubt that the development, the consolidation, the strengthening of the relation between the European Union and our Eastern neighbors, starting with Ukraine, which is the most important of these neighbors, is one of the priority of the European Union.
Hyumin Gerulli. At the end of the last year, the leaders of the EU member countries supported the extension of sanctions against Russia for another 6 months. However, certain EU top officials, like for instance Austrian Foreign Minister Karin Knesel, speak about the possible mitigation of sanctions, which according to them had failed to achieve the projected goal. We asked head of the EU delegation to Ukraine, Mr. Hyumin Gerulli, how united the EU is when it comes to this issue.
The sanctions against Russia for the illegal annexation of Crimea and for the destabilization of Donbas have been renewed every 6 months over the last 3 years. And up to now, this extension of the sanction have always been decided by unanimity. Up to now, one can say without any doubt that there is unanimity on the need to keep the sanction in place. The sanction which have been put in place after the destabilization of Donbas can be removed only after the full implementation of the Minsk agreements. This is the official EU position. And up to now, the EU has been able to stick to this official position.
Hyumin Gerulli. The full version of his exclusive interview with the Ukrainian radio will be offered to you in our program Highlights next Wednesday.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week. Ukraine and Romania will open new border crossing points in the first half of 2018. This was announced on Thursday by Romanian Foreign Minister Theodor Meleșcanu during his visit to the Ukrainian city of Chernivtsi. Meleșcanu added that from the Romanian side of the border, the checkpoints have already been prepared. Also, on the 11th of January, Chernivtsi held a meeting of foreign ministers of Ukraine Pavlo Klimkin and Romania Theodor Meleșcanu. The heads of foreign ministries discussed a wide range of issues of bilateral cooperation at the interstate and regional levels. Vadim Pelech, Ukrainian radio correspondent, will tell more.
Зустріч двох міністрів у Чернівцях передбачає обговорення широкого кола питань двосторонньої співпраці на міждержавному та регіональному рівнях.
The meeting of two foreign ministers was devoted to discussing a wide range of bilateral issues at the interstate and regional levels. One of the urgent issues discussed by the parties was the observance of the educational rights of national minorities in both Ukraine and Romania, and the implementation of the new Ukrainian law on education, taking into account the conclusions of the Venice Commission, said Vadim Pelech. Within the framework of the visit, the Romanian foreign minister, along with his Ukrainian counterpart, opened a comprehensive Romanian language school in the Ukrainian village of Yordanești in Bukovina. As Ukraine's foreign minister Pavlo Klimkin noted, Ukraine and Romania closely cooperate in the educational field of their national minorities, and in the future, this cooperation and friendly relations between the countries will only be strengthened. In turn, Romanian foreign minister Theodor Meleșcanu said that ethnic communities are bridges of cooperation between the countries. He assured that the Romanian government will continue to cooperate and provide support to the Romanian community in Ukraine in accordance with international norms. Romania was one of the countries that criticized the new Ukrainian law on education, which came into force in September 2017. This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
Pope Francis urged the international community to continue supporting Ukraine in his annual State of the World address. The year just ended reaped new victims in the conflict that afflicts the country, reads the address delivered by the Pope to the representatives of the 185 states and international organizations that have diplomatic relations with the Holy See. In his speech, Pope Francis called for the defense of life and support for families and migrants, urging in particular a shared commitment to support Ukraine.
Un impegno comune a ricostruire i ponti è urgente pure nell'Ucraina.
A shared commitment to rebuilding bridges is also urgent in Ukraine. The year just ended reaped new victims in the conflict that afflicts the country, continuing to bring great suffering to the population, particularly to families who live in areas affected by the war and have lost their loved ones, not infrequently the elderly and children, said Pope Francis. The Pope also recalled that this year marks the centenary of the end of the First World War. From the ashes of the Great War, we can learn two lessons that, sad to say, humanity didn't immediately grasp, leading within the space of 20 years to a new and even more devastating conflict. The first lesson is that victory never means humiliating a defeated foe. Peace is not built by vaunting the power of the victor over the vanquished. future acts of aggression are not deterred by the law of fear, but rather by the power of calm reason that encourages dialogue and mutual understanding as a means of resolving differences. This leads to a second lesson. Peace is consolidated when nations can discuss matters on equal terms. As Ukrainian radio reported earlier, a special humanitarian initiative, POVE for Ukraine, was set up in this country with the aim of helping all citizens of Ukraine who became victims of the military operations in the East or turned into internal migrants.
And with that we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.